And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And as promised, I've got Sarah Hathaway on the line. Yes. G'day, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I've been dying to find out more about what's going on down in Geelong, Corio, around the so-called AGL gas hub. The locals are unsettled by it, aren't they?
Yeah, no, it's pretty scary. So Viva Energy runs our oil refinery, which was previously run by Shell, and they've got a proposal to build a floating gas import terminal in Corio Bay. So it'll be extending their existing pier. There'll be a permanent ship that will be moored there, and then we'll have LNG tankers coming in and out of Corio Bay importing gas. And it will be the first of its kind in Australia. So we currently have two gas export terminals, but this would be the first import terminal.
All right, so there's a couple of things there, of course, straight away. The reliance on gas, this idea that it's a transition fuel, is actually this kind of infrastructure means that Australia will commit itself to something which is unviable and quite disastrous environmentally.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's pretty horrifying. I mean, this is just off the back of COP26, you know, and recently there was a report done by Climate Analytics basically saying that gas is the new coal. Like, to a large extent, we've kind of won the argument that coal is bad. And now it's gas that we need to knock off. And if we can't knock off gas, then, you know, we're not going to meet the targets that we need to meet by 2030 or sooner. So, it is pretty pressing fast that this project doesn't go ahead.
Now, the next thing, of course, is that I have this visualisation of gas in these big tankers as actually floating bombs, potentially. They are, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, the climate issue is a big one for us. Obviously, we don't need gas. We've been pushing that message very strongly. There's environmental impacts in terms of its proximity to Ramsar protected wetlands, which is like migratory bird zones, impacts on the bay. But obviously the third big factor, which is getting a lot of resonance, is safety concerns. Because the LNG tankers that will be coming in, the shipping channel is 250 metres within people's kitchens in North Shore. So it is so dangerously close. And if people get the opportunity, we've just put up a little video on our Facebook page, which is Geelong Renewables, Not Gas, and it shows the danger zones of, you know, absolute disaster, worst case, if a ship blew up, what the proximity, like who's in the firing line. And distressingly, like, it's most of Geelong that would just get wiped off the face of the earth. So, yeah, the safety concerns getting a huge resonance with in the north.
You know, just if we go back to the threatened wetlands for migratory birds, I remember the late John Clarke, the comedian and philosopher, I'd have to say. He was very concerned about the fate of migratory birds and the destruction of wetlands, and put a lot of energy into trying to get people to realise that these are hubs for migratory birds, are part of the perpetuation of the environment globally. It's an absolutely essential part of a living environment, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's absolutely essential for, you know, wildlife and, you know, sorry, to add on to that too, I mean, there's real concerns around, you know, a whole range of things like chlorine, other toxic chemicals, you know, killing of seagrasses, impacting on other wildlife in the bay. And these, you know, these are people that know their stuff. Like, not to, not to dismiss the average, you know, activist Joe on the street, but, you know, we are engaging with experts in their field who are giving us this information. And when we raise it with Viva, because they're having all these community consultation meetings, they're just completely dismissive. You know, they're just, that I've got an answer for everything. They don't care. Nothing's a problem. So, I mean, the next step for us early next year, we're going to go through this environment effects statement. And, you know, we're basically going to case that this project is untenable because of the impact it'll have.
People should be remembering that the big fires that were coming out of the open cut down near Morwell a number of years ago was only a six-lane highway away from destroying Morwell. And it's exactly the same sort of level of proximity. And for much older people, people should remember Coot Island and the proximity to Melbourne Central, the explosive power of that particular industrial collection of chemicals. So what you're saying and the danger is very real, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, if you put everything together out there in the north, not only will we have this, you know, floating gas terminal, we'll have LNG tankers coming in and out right next to an oil refinery, which is right next to a fertilizer manufacturing plant. It's just...
That's a marriage made in heaven, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Just it's things that keep people up at night out here in the north. And, you know, it is a community that, you know, that I think we already feel like we're the dumping ground for things that no one else wants. So, yeah, you know, it has been really heartening to see, particularly the North Shore residents, but... even those further back in Norlane coming out and just saying, you know, this is awful, we don't want it. And then we've got, you know, this broader campaign across Greater Geelong because we all live around Corio Bay down here and it's going to impact everybody. We've got people out at the Heads at Queenscliff and Point Lonsdale saying, well, you know, the LNG tankers are going to come within, you know, 250, 300 metres of us when they enter the bay. So, yeah, really wide-ranging impacts and no one wants it.
It'd be really interesting to understand how you've been able to light the fuse of activism in the community, because you're right, there is a sense of economic depression around that area. But also, like, Corio Bay is a very beautiful bay. Geelong's been given the honour of being an industrial city, but in actual fact, its environmental values are very high if you actually look at it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I would say, you know, Viva Energy definitely counting on a level of disengagement. Or this, you know, jobs at all costs argument. But, you know, as soon as we got out there and spoke to residents in the north and said, oh, hey, like, have you heard about this gas terminal? They're just outraged, like, really outraged that once again we feel like out here in the north we're being shafted again. You know, it's one more thing being dumped on us because no one else wants to deal with it. It is a relatively low socioeconomic area in the northern suburbs in Geelong. But, yeah, there's just this sense of frustration that, you know, we take the crap that no one else wants in Geelong and it's a bit of a bridge too far. So that, yeah, level of anger has been quite good. But, yeah, I think the challenge for us going into the new year is starting to cohere it into more of a mass movement, similar to what we saw in Western Port. Like, we know what it takes to knock off a project like this. And, you know, we need the whole community coming out on the streets. So that's definitely what we want to be working towards in the new year.
So is it the state government, the Commonwealth government, or is it commercial interests that are the major target?
I'd say definitely commercial interests. Viva are getting a lot of handouts from the federal government as part of their whole gas-led recovery plan. Interestingly, the state government has been very quiet on this. And there was a period a while ago where they were under immense pressure from the federal government to come out and support it.
But they don't.
No, I don't think they do, or if they do, they just don't want to.
They're trying to work out how to deal with it. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. And it's interesting now because we've just had a report released down here, the Ironbark Sustainability Report, which has shown that there's 24,000 new jobs for Geelong, effectively in renewable and sustainable industries. So this gives us a really strong hand now to say, look, we're not just against gas, but this is what we stand for. And just to give you a sense of this report, you know, it's 12,000 jobs in building retrofits, 2,000 jobs in green transport for electric buses, 12,000 jobs around land use. There's so much there to work with. So on one hand, we can sort of use this as a lobbying tool, hopefully with state government, to go, this is what you need to fund, with our unions, with Geelong Trades Hall, and get a much broader campaign around something positive for the community.
Well, politicians they need community action in order to tip the ball in the right direction, don't they?
Absolutely. No, we know that politicians rarely respond to much unless they feel that political heat and they know that there's votes in it. We really do need to take a leaf out of Western Port and just, you know, they were so successful in making that project completely untenable for any MP of any political in that area. No one felt like they could support it. And that's what we need here in Geelong.
So are there anything that my listeners can actually do to help you?
Absolutely. So please get on to our Facebook page, Geelong Renewables Not Gas, if you want to learn more about the project. There's lots of great resources, but give us a like and a share. We've also got a website, geelongrenewablesnotgas.org. There's a petition on that website. You can sign up to be part of the campaign and receive updates, which will be great when we get ready to rally early next year. It'll be all hands on deck, and we'd love our friends from Melbourne to come down and support the campaign.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Sarah.
No worries. Thanks, Annie.